You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, as I said at the very top of the show tonight, it was my intention, coming off that fun month that we had in December together as we celebrated Christmas and the good music and the more relaxed approach to talk radio, that we would kick off January with the bang and that we would jack 2022 right in the jaw. And I think so far, 3 weeks in, we've done exactly that with no shortage of great guests, including Nick Griffin, Mark Weber last week, Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor tonight. But that's not all. No. Ramsey Paul, Brad Griffin, Patrick Ryan and Sam Bushman. You've heard from them all already just in these first three broadcasts of the new year. And you can expect much more of that to come as this year rolls on. We have got a lot of great ideas for you. We're going to try some new things. We always try to get a little bit better, a little bit sharper each year. Now in our 18th year, we want to be sharper than ever. And when I say we, I'm talking about, of course, our entire team here, the production crew, as well as my good friend and co-host Keith Alexander, Jack Ryan, who is off tonight in Chicago. But Keith is back with us. Keith had a little bit of a medical procedure this week, nothing serious, but he is joining us via telephone again tonight. With any luck, we'll be back in the studio together next Saturday. But it did give me a little flexibility to work in Peter and Jared tonight, and great radio that was. Keith, did you get a chance to listen to it?
I did. And I was impressed with both of them. I was particularly impressed with Jared's presentation. About Youngkin and the fact that we just don't seem to ever be able to get a fair break from the Republicans. When the Republicans come in, it's like the wheels fall off the cart and we're back to worshiping multiculturalism. He was talking about Youngkin's inauguration. And it sounded like no nearsighted person could tell the difference between that and Ralph Northam's, the former Democratic governor's inauguration.
Or Terry McAuliffe, who was, the one who, obviously had a hand in what happened in Charlottesville, going off the rails. I mean, yeah, obviously Peter Criminal is always great. And Jerry, they're always great to talk about the issues. But, it certainly was interesting to hear a firsthand accounting of what happened at Youngkin's inauguration, because, of course, none of the rest of us, and I would dare say nobody even in our listening audience was there besides Jared, so he could give us that firsthand accounting just minutes after the fact, or at least a few hours after the fact. That happened just earlier today.
Well, I also read Brad Griffin's article on it in Occidental Dissent, and he said that one of his big planks on his position is his new initiative against anti-Semitism. So,
That was something that was brought up. All right, so this is another person, another Republican official, slavishly devoted to Israel and the interest of Jews, above and beyond those people who actually voted for him. Go into a little more detail about what you read and what you know about that with regards to Youngkin and that particular question.
Well, the issue is this. It's a bigger issue than Youngkin. Basically, the success, the triumph of liberalism over the past 70 years would never have occurred without Jewish power and influence. And if you're going to oppose liberalism, you can't avoid the Jewish influence that made it a reality. And, if people think that they can roll back liberalism without calling out Jewish power and influence, they're living in a dream world. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to name and shame the people that are responsible for the triumph of liberalism. And every movement, the civil rights movement, the homosexual rights movement, feminism, the no-fault divorce initiative, climate change, everything that they have done would never have come amount to a hill of beans if it hadn't been for Jewish power and influence backing it and of directing it. So,
and so here you have Youngkin, who, as we mentioned with Jared, was thrust into office, surprisingly so, because Virginia has become increasingly a blue state, with Northern Virginia bringing down the rest of the state, which is, you know, quite solidly red and rural and good Southern people. But it is a blue state because of Northern Virginia. And so Youngkin's breakthrough there, I think, was a surprise to some people. And he did it on a racial issue, an issue that mobilized the white voting base that had otherwise tuned out these cuck Republicans. And he gets in. But like DeSantis, who DeSantis I like, I mean, DeSantis in Florida is the best there is on the COVID issue, but too a slave to Israel to such an extent that, you know, he makes it hard for people who have a diversity of opinion on the issue. And so too is Youngkin. But Youngkin, so you have that on one hand, and then what, everything else that Jared said on the other, no good. But he got in because of white racial politics. But those are the last people he's going to do anything for.
Well, you know, well, they say money talks and BS walks, and when Jews are 40% plus of the major contributors to the all candidates for national office, either Democrat or Republican, you know, you're going to continue to have this devotion to their interests.
That's wonderful, and you're certainly right about that, Keith, but Jews didn't vote for him. They give all the
money
they
only
want.
Got 2%, but I believe, you know, they have 100% of the dollars almost. You know, if you wanted to raise $1 million for your campaign, who are you going to call, a Jew, or are you going to call a Gentile? I think you're probably going to call a Jew. And they know that, right?
Well, you got to have money, you got to have votes. Which one do you need more of? This is the chicken or the egg question. But, I mean, look. A Republican was not supposed to win Virginia. I mean, because Trump couldn't even carry Virginia either time. And the Youngkin's breakthrough there was in fact quite groundbreaking. And especially so because it revolved almost exclusively around critical race theory, which is
Well, you know why it happened. You know why it happened, Jay. Basically, the left overplayed its hand. Drastically overplayed its hand and basically caused all these, you know, suburban housewives to get on the conservative bandwagon for once. And that's what did it. But you see, now we're going to get the Republicans that have come in and we're going to return to normal. And we're going to say, well, we're not for critical race theory, but we're all for Martin Luther King, that wonderful.
Yeah, see, that whole thing that Jared was telling me, which again made tonight so fascinating because nobody else, you know, was there. Nobody else could have attested to this. You know, the Indians and all of this other stuff. Then I really wasn't going to cover Martin Luther King tonight, and we're not in the way that we have in the past. I mean, you know, everybody knows what he was about and what he was and what he really was and all of that and who was really running him. But Youngkin, especially the way he won bending the knee to King, and this is that weekend, of course. You know, what a joke of a calendar. What a joke of a day off.
It used to be George Washington's birthday.
Well, that's how we'll remember it. But anyway, we'll come back. Keith Alexander's with us for the rest of the hour, of course. And we've got some other things to talk to him about, as we always do. Peter Brimelow, Jared Taylor, Keith Alexander. That's a team you can win with. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, everybody. A monumental weekend, to be sure, because this is the weekend of Robert E. Lee's birthday. And I think that's what you were stabbing at, Keith. George Washington's birthday was in February. It got rolled into President's
Day. Yeah, that's right. You're right. It was Robert E. Lee's birthday that used to be on what is now Martin Luther King Day.
Well, that the credit where credit is due. Rich Hamblin is right, because he's the one who texted me about that. But as I always say, I put a picture of Robert E. Lee and Martin Luther King side by side, and I said one was fought in justice and tyranny on behalf of his kinsmen, and the other is Martin Luther King.
Well, Martin Luther King was just a guy that was bought, sold, and paid for by Jewish power and influence to be the black face of the civil rights movement. Stanley Levison was a guy that was in the American Communist Party, a Jewish lawyer from New York. He was basically the guy that decided where the Communist Party's money would be allocated, and he was given total authority as to spending it in a way that he thought would be most effective for advancing the revolution. And early on, he concluded that the most effective way to spend that money was to support Martin Luther King. So that's Martin Luther King in a nutshell.
Well, and that's all we need to know about it. We've talked about him. This is our 18th year on the show. That's been covered before. If you don't know it by now, folks.
You haven't been paying attention.
Go to our website on Monday.
All right.
We'll put something up there for you. But anyway, hey, you know, let's go back to that exact era. In fact, so this was again something that we brought up with our two esteemed guests earlier tonight. Joe Biden gave this speech in Atlanta, the hallowed grounds upon which, you know, everything about the guy was a lie.
Civil rights movement. Yeah.
Everything about him was a lie. Even his name was a lie. His name was Michael King, but he changed it to Martin Luther. Because he wanted to pretend to be a Christian, even though he didn't believe in the divinity of Christ. He didn't believe in any of the tenets of Christianity, but he needed to be a Christian.
He did remember one. He believed in the forgiveness of sins, and he had plenty of reason to believe in that.
Well, in any event, true as that is, and he needed to be a Christian in order to cloak what he was doing in a way that was palatable at the time. But in any event, Joe Biden said in this speech this week in Atlanta that people who disagree, and this is something you wanted to talk about, Keith, and we mentioned this earlier with Peter, people who disagree with his bill to federalize elections are domestic enemies and are on the side of George Wallace, Bull Connor, and Jefferson Davis. Keith, let me ask you this. Whose side are you on?
Bull Connor, George Wallace, and Jefferson Davis. And let me tell you, I'm glad that he brought that out, because maybe some people will reconsider maybe Bull Connor, George Wallace, and Jefferson Davis weren't so bad after all. If Joe Biden dislikes them, they must have some type of redeeming characteristics.
You know, and that's something that Peter said earlier, or maybe it was Jared, one of the two. Either one would have said it, and either one would have been right, is that Joe Biden only reads what he's given to read. But I would have to believe that he improv'd that. You know, even though he's in, you know, a certain stage of dementia, he had to have improv'd. I just don't see one of these soy
boy interns. I
wonder
where Jefferson Davis got into that. I didn't think Jefferson Davis was actually involved in the civil rights movement. But
I just don't see one of his soy boy interns who were writing his remarks noting the names of George Wallace and Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis. I think that was a little bit of the lucid Joe Biden coming to light there. I don't think that his people would have written that. I don't think they would have either known who they were or thought to have put that in or thought it would be prudent to put it in for the reason you just mentioned, Keith, that maybe somebody will look them up. And if you look them up, there's a hell of a lot to agree with there. I would stand with any of those men shoulder to shoulder. Certainly Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis.
Well, look, I'm glad he did that, because that brings back the source of all this so-called voter relaxation of the rules. It started with the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And that was, you know, nobody says much about that anymore. You know, a lot of people will criticize the Civil Rights Act of 64, the Immigration Act of 65, but the Voting Rights Act doesn't come in for the criticism that it deserves. It basically authorized racial gerrymandering to get blacks elected to office, both in state and federal positions, particularly congressional positions. They also, you know, what happened in the last presidential election was that they used the techniques that they had honed to a fine art under the Voting Rights Act to funnel, this time, totally made up votes through black districts in places like Philadelphia and Atlanta and stuff like this in key battleground states to tip the election in favor of Joe Biden. And people need to understand that, you know, and remember we had Jesse Lee Peterson on, and I mentioned that to him, and he said, you're absolutely right. He said, that's where all of the phony votes came from, black districts under the Voting Rights Act, using the techniques they had honed through the past, you know, half century. And he said, you're one of the few people that has recognized that. But that's what they did. All of those votes, all of those phony Biden votes, were funneled through black electoral districts. And that's what he's trying to now take away the state's ability to set standards for voting. They want to have federal standards for federal offices, which means they will always win the election. You know, they had the Baker versus Carr Supreme Court decision in the early 60s established one man, one vote. Everybody thought that was a wonderful thing. It sounded so good. Well, who could be opposed to that? Well, the founding fathers were opposed to it. They didn't have one man, one vote for the Senate. In fact, the Senate was originally elected by the legislature of the state. It was to empower the states and to give state government and state sovereignty a place at the federal table. And that has, you know, Now they're trying to do away with it totally with this, I think it's Vote Better Act or Voter Freedom Act. We've got two of them. And thank goodness Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are standing up and being counted and not allowing that to go through. And, I mean, the Democrats, if they got that, it's game over, game, set, and match. You know, we're totally under a Democrat control from now
until,
on.
Until something gives, it may be as well, because, I mean, with people like Glenn Youngkin, what have you won? Jack.
Well,
nothing.
Well, you know, look, I just wish that Glenn Youngkin was as strong as Joe Manchin is.
Ain't that the truth? Well, I don't know how strong Joe Manchin is on race, but he's certainly strong in holding the line.
Well, he knows he has a vast – I think West Virginia is 94% white. Those are the people that elect him to the Senate, and he knows it, and he knows that they have distinct preferences and interests electorally, and he is standing up for them. And,
well, you know,
he's not going to vote like Steve Cohen in Memphis. For example, the redistricting that they're doing in Tennessee, they're trying to do Jim Cooper, a white Democrat out of Nashville, out of his office with redistricting. But when it comes to Steve Cohen in Memphis, they're just adding Tipton County to his district, and he'll still have an easy cakewalk to being elected. They're not going to take votes away from the blacks, but they will eventually white liberals in Nashville.
Hold on right there, brother. We'll be right back with you. 30 minutes to go tonight. Jack Ryan's off tonight. Keith Alexander with us for the rest of the hour. We'll be back in the studio next week. As I like to say, God willing, Jesus tarries. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
One hostage has been released, but three hostages remain inside of a synagogue in Texas. The suspect could be heard during a live stream demanding the release of a Pakistani neuroscientist who was convicted of trying to kill U.S. Army officers in Afghanistan. Law enforcement officials said the man claimed to be armed, but authorities have not confirmed it. So far, officials say they haven't positively identified the man, and they cautioned that information was based on a preliminary investigation. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tweeted that President Biden had been briefed and was receiving updates from senior officials. The hostage taker was hoping for the release of Afia Sadiq, who he called his sister, but officials say that is not actual. She's suspected of having ties to Al-Qaeda. This is USA Radio News.
Well, you've heard me talk about Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and how his pillow's given me a great night's sleep. He continues to roll out new offers on his products. His latest on the towel sets. Now, towels aren't something you think about. I never knew what I was missing until I tried the towels last year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today, and trust in Mike Lindell has given you a better night's sleep. Mike's now changing the game with his six-piece towel set, USA cotton, extremely absorbent, yet still providing that soft feel you look for in the towel. Two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths for a limited time, $39.95. Using our promo code USA, it retails for over $100. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use this promo code USA to get this price of $39.99 on the towels, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A snowstorm is blanketing the southeast and northeast with rain, snow, and ice. Up to a foot of snow has already fallen across the region, with officials warning of hazardous travel. Winter storm warnings and watches were put into effect from eastern North Dakota to northern Missouri, just ahead of the snowfall. Some people are familiar with an Alberta Clipper. This system originated in Canada as a Saskatchewan Screamer. Bridges in the Des Moines area are covered with ice, and some roads east of Des Moines are completely covered with snow. Forecasters say much of the state of Iowa can expect at least a foot of snow. Strong winds may also cause blowing and drifting snow during the storm. Officials say you need to check travelers' advisories before traveling through any of these regions. Black ice is also causing difficulties traveling around the Great Lakes and in the upper Northeast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, we have to make haste here, and we will. We need to get to the Supreme Court, that topic. But first, you mentioned Kristen Sinema. So, again, Sinema and Manchin in West Virginia and Sinema, of course, in Arizona have gotten so much ordinance from the establishment regime or system press, however you want to refer to it as. It's everything but an honest press. And I saw that Martin Luther King III, this is the third Martin Luther King, used the same warmed-up reserving line that Joe Biden used in saying that Kristen Sinema would be judged to be on the wrong side of history because she is standing with Bull Connor and George Wallace and Jefferson Davis. I mean, for what? For asking people to show a little bit of ID before they go in to vote? I mean, as we talked about last week, Keith, on the show, you got a month to vote early. You can mail it in from God knows where. You can stuff it in a ballot box on the street corner like it's a post office receptacle. If you don't have enough time to vote with the allotment they give you, God help you and God forgive you. But this whole thing, Kristen Sinema is Bull Connor. I mean, you know, first of all, who was Bull Connor? He tried to enforce the law. And you know, Bull Connor's America was a much better America than we've got now. Bull Connor, I stand with Bull Connor. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. It's true. But this whole thing, if somebody accuses you of standing with Wallace and Connor and Davis, what do you say, Keith?
I say, right on. that's exactly right. This is why I've said that the left always retreats to their redoubt of the civil rights movement whenever there is massive public skepticism about their latest liberal project, be it transgenderism, homosexual marriage, COVID mandates, whatever. You know, whenever you start, bringing some incoming to them on that, they always resort and cloak themselves in the righteous robe of the civil rights movement. And we're going to have to realize that the civil rights movement wasn't so righteous. Bull Connor and George Wallace were not a bunch of crazy, troglodytes, the way they're portrayed. And furthermore, Martin Luther King and the people promoting the civil rights movement were basically selling a lie to the American people. And that lie was that black people really wanted integration. They didn't. You can see now that they don't. They want separate graduation ceremonies for blacks. They want separate dormitories for blacks. They want separate courses of study. They want their own HBCUs to be better funded. All of that was a lie that was used to try to triangulate Jewish power and influence against white Gentile America. And it worked like a charm, and people still worship at the shrine of the civil rights movement. And that's what they're continuing to do. That's what's happening. And somebody like Martin Luther King III, a total zero in life, didn't accomplish anything except get involved in acrimonious litigation with his siblings over, carving up the carcass of his father, and trying to get money from him and whatnot. He shows up to try to, again, recreate his father's karma, which again was nothing but a stage production by the left, Jewish power and influence. And, black people did not accomplish the civil rights movement on their own. I hate to break it to Martin Luther King III and whatnot, But without Jewish power and influence behind them, it never would have amounted to a hill of beans. And furthermore, it was dishonest. It was dishonestly portrayed to the American people.
Okay, let's transition now if we can. Let's go to the Supreme Court this week with regard to, if you've been following it, I know you've been recovering, but
I've been living it.
Right, exactly. The OSHA mandate, this healthcare ruling. Now, you know, I it's a split decision. It was still the best decision the Supreme Court has made in my lifetime, only because it wasn't a total unmitigated surrender and defeat. So it's saying very little to say it's the best Supreme Court decision in the last generation. They have ruled now that private businesses aren't obligated to follow Joe Biden's vaccine mandates. So if you employ 100 or more people, you don't have to mandate them all to be vaccinated, which is a good thing because so many people still aren't. But it's not the same for the healthcare workers, which is interesting. So how do you read this, Keith?
Well, it's splitting the blanket. It's, you know, like Solomon splitting the baby. It is the Occupational Safety and Health Act. So health is in there. They could have done it if they wanted to, but it was an overreach to the general basic constitutional provision, which is that the federal government does not have power unless it is specifically delegated to it in the Constitution, Articles 1, 2, and 3, okay? And there's nothing in there. That's what they should have done. The fact that we have an OSHA is a violation of that principle. But, you know, everything that's being done, for example, Joe Biden exempted the U.S. Postal Service from his mandate. Why? Because most of the people that work for the U.S. Postal Service are black. And guess what? Black people hate the idea of getting the vaccine shot. They love wearing masks, and they love enforcing wearing masks on everybody. But when it comes to getting the shot, that's an entirely different matter. So Biden, in what was a just obvious political ploy, exempted the post office. Now, the whole thing with the mandates for COVID are an overreach. Anything is an overreach. Doing it for healthcare workers is an overreach. But I can tell you, I just got out of the hospital. All they do is ask you about it. You can tell them whatever you want to. They don't check on it. That's the way that they, you know, people in red state America are not going to be intimidated into doing all this. The healthcare workers aren't for it. People aren't for it generally. See, this is another red state, blue state divide in outlook in America. The idea that somehow, you know, follow the science, COVID is real, COVID is this terrible thing. Well, the thing that's terrible about COVID are these vaccines that were rushed into production and basically compromise your entire immune system. Who wants to get that? Nobody that has any sense. I tell you that. And it's I'm so glad that people that work in a normal business aren't going to have to get this mandate. I know they're having enough trouble finding enough workers to work in American businesses now. You know, I saw in Occidental Descent that they have quit the child care credit now. It's not going to come. That's one of the things that had persuaded a lot of people that they didn't want to work because they were getting $300 a week or something from the federal government, and that was enough to keep them afloat along with other benefits. And they're having all sorts of trouble getting people to work. So, you know, why would we want to give people another reason to not work and then further cause problems with the supply chain? Look at all the businesses that have gone out here in Memphis, for example, because they don't have the employees to man them. So, and that's what COVID, if insisting on COVID mandates would further erode the workforce.
Well, we're getting a lot of, look, you know, our friend Rich is on top of this. And so I'm going to read to you. I'm just going to read this verbatim because he's got my phone lighting up here. And it's all good content and commentary. So it's a bad ruling, he writes, and we will follow this into the next segment. But it affects an estimated 12 million nurses and doctors. Now, we know a lot of nurses here at TPC who are friends and fans of ours. A lot will quit or perhaps even be forced to be replaced by H-1B visa people. I had one of those nurses after a recent surgery barely spoke English from Somalia or some other country. Not good. So ponder that, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to take a quick break. We're going to follow up and wrap up tonight's show. Busy show, good show, fun show, great show with Peter Rimelow and Jared Taylor. Keith Alexander with us now. One more segment on this, and we'll get right back to it in 3 minutes, I guarantee you.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, a few things to consider here as we wrap this up. This is an important topic. So when the Supreme Court decision came down midweek a couple of days ago, my first reaction was, well, this is good. It still is. This says very little, but it still is the best decision the Supreme Court has made in my lifetime, even though it's a split decision. But we focused on the fact that these private businesses wouldn't be forced to fire or replace their workers who didn't want to take this experimental treatment. Now, again, I have to say, and I have to be frank here, I know people on both sides of this issue. This is not a good issue for whites. I mean, this isn't one that we lead with, but I know people who I very much trust and admire and respect who have not been vaccinated, and I know some who have. It doesn't make me think less or more of them either way, really. It's my position on this has always been it's a personal decision. I don't think that the personally, this is just me speaking here, I don't think that the COVID, any of the variants you wish to choose, is that deadly. I have not been vaccinated. I'm healthy. I'm fit. I have not been personally. I don't mind saying that. But if you're older and you're concerned, if you think it is in your best interest to do it, I don't think any less of you for going and getting the vaccine. But the whole thing that it be mandated and all of this and this crazy, crazy, crazy overreaction to what has basically devolved down to just being a common cold is just beyond preposterous. That's my opinion. Agree or disagree with it, I'll always speak my mind here on the show. But again, we got a comment here, Keith, from Rick in South Brooklyn. I saw a billboard today, for a registered nurse degree course done entirely online. You want her taking your blood, he writes. I wouldn't want her emptying my bedpan. But going back to, thank you, Rick, to Rich on this. So here's the thing. Okay. How bad is the ruling on healthcare workers? This is the other part of this. They did enforce Biden's restrictions on healthcare workers. Now, we have a number of female listeners and fans who are nurses, and they're all attractive. I mean, down to the very one, who have not been vaccinated. And I will be interested to know. I haven't talked to them since this happened, or to any of them since this happened earlier this week, but we'll find out. Does this impact them? It would seem as though it might or would. A lot will quit, be replaced by H-1B visa people. Rich writes, I had one of those nurses.
Or a lot of surgery. Just shut down hospitals because there won't be anybody to replace them. See, my feeling on this personally is that the cure is worse than the disease, or the vaccine is worse than the disease. You'd be better off to get the Omicron variant than you would be to take the shot. But everybody's got an opinion.
No. I'm the same way. I mean, that's my decision. But if other people are more concerned with the ailment than the vaccine, then they should be entitled to do that. I mean, I don't, again, think any more or less than them. But I'll quickly read this from Rich.
But the government doesn't need to be telling people to do on this.
That's
what Rich is saying. And by the way, let me just say this. I did a podcast for a young podcaster from New York City called Confederate Man this week. And we talked about a variety of things, particularly what actually happened during the Civil Rights Movement, which I lived through, was a participant in. So he's going to make me a copy of that. I'm going to send you a copy of it, James. But anyway, I told him I would give him a plug on tonight's show, and I'm doing it.
No. I know this young man, and he reached out for your contact information, said you'd be a great guest, and he's interviewed some others of our regulars, and we'll talk more about him to be sure. But to finish Rich's point, saying I had one of those nurses after my heart surgery barely spoke English from Somalia or some other country, not good. And this is at a time, he continues, when more and more people are being hospitalized with complications from the vaccine. So who is going to treat them? But the Democrats used the cloture rule to prevent a vote on sanctions against the Russian pipeline to Europe. But two different parts of this ruling. The OSHA part is good only because Congress has not written that into their legislative authority, implying that if Congress, not the Constitution, had authorized it, then it would be legit. That is a very key point, I think, from Rich here, that if Congress had written it in, then of course that would be fine. But the vaccine mandate is tied to Medicare and Medicaid money. Hospitals will be required to certify vaccination to get the result.
It's an executive order, basically, by Biden.
Well, but this is the serious point. If this is the thing, I think, to bring it to sharp focus, if the vaccine mandate is tied to Medicare and Medicaid money, will hospitals have to require certification of vaccination to get the funds? So, of course, the rulers don't care. They can import replacements. But so Rich is talking about his recent heart surgery, which would be a big deal. They could put these people anywhere. And what's going to be the next step? Refusal of Medicare treatment unless you're vaccinated. That's a question now. And it's too soon to know because this only happened just a couple of days ago. Will you be required? And there has been in different jurisdictions already some question about this. If you're not vaccinated, can you receive hospital care? Will your insurance cover you for any treatment?
Yeah, they're trying to do that. And also, I don't think it's necessarily given the HIV visa recipients from overseas are going to take these jobs. Another very real possibility, particularly in certain areas in the South, is that there won't be a staff to run hospitals. And, you know, you tell me, what you pick your poison, what's worse?
Well, I guess we'll find out, but whether or not this now will usher in a question of whether or not patients themselves can go in unless they've been vaccinated, particularly pertaining to what they will claim to be COVID-related ailments and illnesses.
And vaccine passports. They're talking about that now to be able to travel on airplanes throughout the United States.
Well, all that's been talked about for a while. I mean, airplanes are still not requiring it, other, you know, at least not here. But
if you fly in from out of the country into America, you've got to show some type of vaccination passport.
Yeah, well, in Europe, it's different. In other places, it's different. I mean, train travel is different. Cruise travel is different. You know, cruise travel, if you take a cruise, you know, just a leisure cruise down to Mexico or wherever these cruises take you out of New Orleans or Miami or Port Canaveral, you have to be vaccinated. You have to be fully vaccinated. Now, what's fully vaccinated mean now? Is that 1, 2, 4, 5, 20 boosters?
I mean, where are we at now? It's crazy.
But you have to have it to get on a cruise ship, but you don't have to do that to get on an airplane, at least not yet. And what's it going to happen now as a result of the Supreme Court ruling with regards to hospital care for people who are unvaccinated? I mean, you know, but the thing is, I mean, it is the pandemic has become endemic. And each subsequent variant is less lethal than the its predecessors, and it's almost evolved now into a common cold. I mean, this Omicron thing.
I know,
many more
but
cases.
The vaccine, like I said, the cure is worse than the disease. If you take that vaccine, it affects your immune system.
Well, you know, again, we say that. I'm not a medical expert. I don't know that for a fact. But what I do know is I'm more concerned about the fact I am personally at 41 years of age. If I'm 81, I don't know what I think. But at this point in my life, I'm more concerned with the vaccine than catching Omicron or whatever they're calling the newest thing. But this whole thing that society's just can't function because, you know, this is not the plague. We've covered this so much. The only reason we're covering it again now is because the Supreme Court ruled on an issue pertaining to this. I hate to even bring up COVID. I don't like talking about it on this show. This isn't one of our signature issues. But the Supreme Court case this week was interesting, so we needed to cover it. But not really as interesting to me, Keith, and we only have 2 minutes remaining, so not enough time to open up this can of worms. We've covered it off and on throughout the show tonight anyway, but this whole thing with voting rights and the Supreme Court's looking into that as they always are.
Well, the voting rights, they want to justify vote harvesting of minorities. That's the whole thing. They want black preachers to be able to get their congregation to sign absentee ballots out in the vestibule, and the pastor will fill out the ballots for them the way that the Democrats want it filled out. And they, the Democrats have felt that they're entitled to do that since the 65 Voting Rights Act. That's what the purpose of that was. And now they used to just try to get every black person that was eligible to vote. Now, in the 2020 election, what they did was they invented votes, created ballots for people that didn't exist. in my
this,
opinion.
This goes back to what we, I mean, this whole thing. Last I checked, a black person could vote in this country. I don't know what is going on here with this whole thing. We're going back to Jim Crow because of what? Because
well,
you have to show a modicum of identification.
To vote, and they want them to vote, see? That's the whole problem. They're less likely to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning between 7 and 8 and 7 in the evening, arrive at a designated polling place with a picture ID and vote. So
well,
they
yeah,
want
and they only have a month
do
to do it
now,
from October 1st through the first Tuesday, Thursday, November. Anyway, hey, great show tonight. Who are we going to have next week? You know, we'll find out together next Saturday, will we not, ladies and gentlemen, for the guests we had tonight, Jared Taylor, Peter Bremelow, staff and crew, Keith Alexander. Hey, rest up, my friend. Get better, and we'll see you. Hopefully we'll be back together again a week from now at this time. For another great installment of TPC, as we continue this blistering pace into 2022, week number 4 on deck next week. Good night.